going on, guys? Just some background music. And this is essentially where my thoughts are. And this is going to be about phone numbers. The importance of phone numbers. Can you live without it? How to live without it? How to live without one? How they're identified? And essentially, what purpose do they serve now? Now, you track back like 30 to 40 to 50 years. Phone numbers were just a means of communications. Now they're used for other means of communications. Beyond means of communications, they're used for 2FA codes. They're used to sign up for stuff. They're essentially an identifier. And I believe that we have hit the era of technology where we're over-engineering and over-complicating stuff. And we're not realizing how much information that we're giving out at the cost of our privacy and definitely at the cost of our security. When you think of a phone number, you generally look at it as a tool to reach people. And I think, I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that banks still use 2FA through SMS. I mean, 2FA is generally better than none. And I believe that people should migrate to passkeys as much as possible where the support is there. And maybe hardware authentication as well. That would be probably the very smart approach. And I wrote some notes and had some thoughts on the solutions. Not only the solutions, but like what to do, how to kind of go navigate it, and what would be the best solution for each case scenario. So definitely think about this, you know, long term. And the long term method is, how can I keep my phone number private? What can I use to keep my phone number private? How to remove my information from the internet? This is a fundamental key point in kind of like gauging your privacy. There are a ton of services that are out there that have also been somewhat demeaned, kind of useless besides doing it yourself, minus easy opt-outs. Apparently, easy opt-outs was one of the best. Delete Me was up there, I believe, as well, or it was like worse. I can't really remember. And doing it yourself was the most effective. But it's also something that you need to think about is, what can I get from my phone number? Now, I suggest people do, what they do is go type their phone number into these search engines and find what you find about yourself. Look for what you find. See what you can find. Google search yourself. Definitely once in a great while, search for who you are and see what information is out there and what you don't want to be out there. I worked with someone, and all I did was use their phone number. And they're like, bro, that's my parents' address. We haven't lived there in like 5 years. And how did you get that information? Like, that's really weird. And this is like just obviously purely anecdotal. And the crust of it was, well, do you hand out your phone number? Who do you hand your phone number out to? Do you care? Well, after that, they did. And they started realizing, like, wow, that's actually kind of uncomfortable that people can find that linked information through my phone number that, like, you know, just perspective. You don't have to do that. Obviously, get consent, and, like, you don't have to do that with everyone. And it's sometimes it can make conversations less productive, but that's how powerful your phone number is. It's linked to you as a person. You should treat your phone number like your address. And I think that people are starting to kind of get that. Like, they get a bunch. Most people complain about spam calls, but spam calls is kind of like the least of your worries. When threat actors have your phone number, your information, they're going to try to scam you. Especially, think of your grandmother, etc., blah, 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 that might fall for these scams. And we're going to get into a minute about some of the solutions on how to combat this. And from the very basic, easy, to the extreme. And those things are going to be, like, always at scale. Now, the scale of it is going to depend on the person. What are you willing to sacrifice in terms of better privacy and security, and what you're not willing to sacrifice? And those are always going to be, like, what you find demean value. Now, I think it is possible to get, and first and foremost, burner phones do not exist. They're pretty much they're like kind of like overstated. And I think people have a misleading understanding of, like, the amount of ways and metadata and tracking that can be tied to your identity. Beyond that, I definitely think that it's important to understand what is good OPSEC and what is bad OPSEC and what is perceived OPSEC, what is security theater in a more layman's term. And I definitely can understand where people get this misleading information and then they end up, you know, making a lot of mistakes along the way. Now, you might have to spend several months correcting all this. So I say do it in step of, and you have to constantly clean up after yourself in terms of privacy. It is not there's no one answer that is going to silver bullet this into the chamber and fix all the problems. You have to be consistently. You have to change your habits, essentially. And that might scare people in the beginning, but eventually you'll get used to it. It'll be normal. And once it becomes normal and you get used to it, then you're fine. So let's get into, you know, some notes I took, some information I grabbed from the internet, from stuff I read, and some solutions. Now, the first question is, what is a phone number? A phone number is an identifier that can route one person and or a service to essentially you the person, you as the owner, allegedly, of that said number. And once you kind of understand that this is, I think of it, a phone number as an address. It's an address to reach you at. It's like a mailbox. It's like email. It's like the postal service, however you want to look at it. Except for it is on 24/7, unless you know, obviously turn off your phone. Now, your first solution in getting an anonymous number is, if you can, kind of extreme, get a new number. Take that number, shove it into a black box, essentially. There's Google Voice, there's Hush, there's a cheap track phone, contractless phone company that doesn't require any identifiable information. Put it, jack it into there, and then do card call forwarding onto your new number that you will never give out. This is, I guess, tinfoil. I'm gonna do it in tinfoil hat. One tinfoil hat. Very same, like, kind of like annoying at first, because you'll be paying for two providers. TracFone's pretty cheap. There's also Mint Mobile. There's tons of providers that don't require this. Now, or Google Voice, yeah, you can do that. I think it's like $20 one time, and then you have to like maintain it over a period of time to make sure that that account never gets closed, and you are tied to Google, unfortunately, for the end of time. But it might pan out to leading to slightly better privacy. All you have to do is to set up call forwarding. You get all your call forwarding text and stuff sent to your new number that you don't hand out. A little bit more management, a little bit more thinking, and then you only use Signal with this new number if you can, because Signal now has usernames. You don't have to hand out your information or your number, and that kind of, you know, protects you. And then services that require a phone number to exist, which is, you know, in my opinion, kind of dumb, like for banks and stuff like that. But whatever, you know. Until you can truly like separate yourself from like the banking industry, etc., then it's going to be kind of hard. That's option one. Get a cheap cell phone plan. Pay with cash. Pay a year in advance so you don't think about it. Google Voice, Hush, I mean, other VoIP operators, port your existing number that you've had this for years and years and decades, and that everyone has under the sun, and just park it, and then never give out the new number to anyone. That is the fastest, cleanest situation that you could throw yourself into. Now there's step two. Just do VoIP. Throw away the old number. Get my pseudo, Hushed, again, Google Voice, pay with a prepaid debit card that's not tied to you, give as little information as possible, read through the privacy policies, trust the company to a certain degree, and there you go. I mean, I use my pseudo for a different reason. It's great. It's okay service. It's cheap. Signups work pretty much everywhere, and that could be your next option. You could forfeit the old number, get a new number, never hand this number out, because you can just sign up with Signal and then Session and just a few different messaging platforms that maybe don't require any phone number. SimpleX, that exists as well. When you do these things, it's real. The real goal is to use services that require a phone number, but that's not really tied to you. And this goes into ordering stuff. Order stuff. I mean, the virtual address will be a whole another topic. But I'm not a lawyer. But you gotta like PO box, or you know, send stuff away from your house, away from your phone number that isn't attached to you, to keep the link between you and these things as far as possible, for good reason, not for bad reason. Your next option, there is within that VoIP, there's JMP chat. JMP chat is kind of awesome. It's a real phone number. It's, I believe, 120 minutes of call a month, I believe. Your phone number on every device, multiple phone numbers, one app. Free is in freedom. It's free on free and open source. Share one number with multiple people. You get a real number. It's pretty clean for $5 a month. You can get a SIM. They have a data only mobile plan for $7 plus gig plus $5 a year. Build at 5 gigs. I think you get it for like $10 a year. You get like a small amount of data, which is cool. You get a real phone number. You can also do, it's cool because you can use like XMPP as the like kind of like way you talk to people, which is pretty sweet. It's kind of a VoIP service, but they do provide, they use Jabber or XMPP as their gateway to transport the service that can be used to connect your Jabber ID. It's kind of nice. It's like a very simple way to like somewhat decentralize yourself from major providers. Now, if you're going to keep your number, you're going to insert a SIM card. You could go this route. Now, this is not heavily... I came across this by accident. It's called Cloaked Wireless. They're America's quote-unquote safe and most private service. I don't really believe that. I think that's kind of a marketing term, in my opinion. I could be fucking wrong. which is whatever. But if, say you want, you're like, fuck this, I need a number. I kind of want a number that, and I need a SIM card and I need data and I just want to be a somewhat normie. Cloaked Wireless has pretty insane authentication options. So does US Mobile, by the way. They have pretty good authentication. They have 2FA support, which is insane. You can only modify your account. Cloak support and operators employees do not have access to modified accounts, authorized SIM swaps, or authorized port outs. Only Cloak Wireless subscribers can do this once they have authenticate and access their accounts. Privacy matters. At Cloak Wireless, believe that your data belongs to you. That's why we don't collect your data. That isn't required you to provide with your wireless. I have read the privacy policy. It's pretty simple. We have strict data retention and privacy policies. We will never sell your data to third parties like other providers. Don't really trust that. Security and privacy first, switch in minutes. They actually kind of somewhat embrace you giving false information from what I understand. And they actually do secure SMS, 500 megabyte. For $25, they give you like 500 megabytes of high speed, unlimited talk and text, nationwide 5G. And then for $45, they give you 10 gigs. Kind of expensive, but it's just an interesting, and you can pay with Bitcoin, Lightning. Yeah, you can pay with Lightning, which is kind of nice. I don't think there's ways you can pay with crypto for license. I use Stealth for stuff, and Stealth has worked everywhere. They give you service for a year. It's like $15. Stealth is great. It's through KYC Me Not, which is kind of an interesting site there where you can find a lot of no KYC websites. And I definitely think that it's probably one of my favorite websites. But it's cool. Like, these guys are like pretty like relatively like, we need better security. We need better privacy in the cell phone. I agree with this. On a fundamental level, I think that it's awesome that they offer really good security built in, which is crazy. They have FIDO. They actually offer, which is fucking crazy. They have FIDO and web authentication, offer some digital management, but it's not properly meant. You can use some of your accounts, whatever. They have a way you can do FIDO, which is kind of based. And then they have TOTP. They have authenticate using WebAuth, which allows you to authenticate using your Lightning wallet, which is nice. So cheap fees. Lightning's a little bit more private. I mean, I wish they accepted Monero, but whatever. They kind of embrace giving as little information as possible. I kind of like that. Yeah, there's US Mobile as well. US Mobile has a 2FA option, which is pretty based. And these are like prepaid providers. It's like, how the fuck do they have this? But some of the big national providers and banks don't have fucking FIDO or web off, which is absolutely bonkers to me. Whatever, sorry. Super massive annoying moment that like irritates me. Passkeys needs to take over. I think it's fucking great. I like when we have better security options. Pretty much only users can modify their account in this, but you know, side rant. Staying on topic and trying to get that into perspective, Cloak Wireless is relatively good. You can pay with Lightning. They encourage or don't ask for personal information that can identify you. Their prices are pretty steep, but it's completely understandable. Sometimes these companies need to operate at a... They're putting enough in the security that they need to operate maybe, you know, a little higher expense, whatever. And if it prevents them from selling location data in the back end, that's fine by me. They do offer pretty good protection against swapping, and that's a good thing. The most anonymous, don't really trust that. I don't think that they would ever deny a government. Hopefully they would never deny the government access to logs, because if a company says that, they're obviously lying to you, as we saw with Telegram. There are a bunch of pussies too. For anyone who was autistic enough to think that Telegram was not handing information over to the authorities is retarded. And Telegram sucked. Anyways, also not end-to-end encrypted by default. Their encryption chat rooms are dog shit as well. I think they rolled their own encryption, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Don't quote me about that. But we have enough information that these companies, telecom providers, track us and literally sell our data in the back end. 404 Media did a really good piece where how the government tracks your phone. This is obviously a very sensitive subject, and I think people need to take this with a grain of salt and not read too deep into it. Look, if you're not doing anything super, super illegal, again, I don't think that should ever be the reason for spying on your citizens. But if you ever are doing something super illegal, no shit, the government with an unlimited budget is going to find you, especially if you had phone on you. They're just going to knock on a lot of these advertisers inject, from what I understand it, is they inject track ways to track you. And these ways to track you aren't really based on the location for anything malicious. It's just like, hey, they live in Seattle. We're going to advertise through this live. I think there was a they were talking about they used to get a lot of information from these live bids, because they're like, oh, this is a lot of information that we can collect and kind of pinpoint to people. I think I'll link the episode in my show notes, which 404 Media did. I believe the tracking is so good that, first off, anyone can buy it for not a crazy amount of money, which is kind of crazy. It's actually very accessible for the average person. You don't have to have tons of money. I think the company even lied to them and said that, like, hey, we're an advertising company. We just kind of, like, need this data. And they're like, all right, cool, whatever. No, little verification needed. Or so it could just be anyone. They followed someone down from an abortion clinic, essentially, back to their house. Like, where their state or something. Yeah, they went from state cross, and it was that good. And that's insane to me. Like, I had to, like, even think about that. That's insane to me that somebody could get this information. And this is where, like, you have to be very careful about what apps you put on your phone, what information you allow your phone to have access to, aka your location services, and essentially why it's important to restrict as much access as possible. You don't have to go the extreme route like all these people are saying, because I think most of it is hyperbolic. Just put your phone in airplane mode. Turn off Wi-Fi scanning, Bluetooth scanning. Restrict permissions, set up storage scope, set up contact scope if you need to, or just outright reject the apps that need this to function within good reason. Obviously, if it's localized and it needs certain permissions in order to function, that's a different story. And there's, if you can verify that there is nothing malicious and it is not going outside the network, those are things that you need to be aware of. Now, if you're going to a protest or you're doing something, quote unquote, maybe not ethical in the eyes of the law or whatever, and you're worried about being tracked or surveilled, you probably shouldn't bring your phone in the first place. Or you should get a separate, in cash, relatively secure phone and use secure messaging while you're at these events. And better yet, try to make sure that you don't have any identifiable information that's attached to this phone and or purchase, whether it be connected to your Wi-Fi at one point or you paid with a credit card and it can be linked back to you. There's a lot of information that can be linked back to you beyond the IMEI. I think the IMEI that a lot of people kind of like point to, and they're like, this is the worst part. It's like, no, brother, there's a lot of other worst parts in the industry that can tie you to who you are. Like, a lot of metadata is the lead to most arrests, if not all. Metadata is enough information to tie somebody. Again, people are very unique in their habits. I'm the only one who goes to insert coffee company here on Tuesday with a phone with this resolution and driving this specific car at this specific time. Those are very unique traits of one individual. We have habits that are very unique to the individual. The way we type, the way we talk to somebody. I mean, these are all very identifiable traits that we have that could lead to potentially correlating to our identity. And I think that is a fundamental feature that people need to understand of constant phone in pocket. Now, how do you combat that? Well, first, don't commit crime, but it's not as simple as that. You might be doing something that you might think is justified, or it might be justified and it could be considered like illegal in your state. Like, you know, I was in another country not too long ago, and their country just got laxed with, like, weed. But essentially, it's still illegal. And talking to some strangers, one person was like, oh, I have to go to court for weed, and I'm probably going to go to, like, prison. That's crazy to me. Most likely will go to prison, so that's probably why they were, like, you know, traveling around. Because they will probably most indefinitely go to prison. Because there's some countries that I think Singapore. Singapore is like the death penalty for weed, which is crazy to me. So obviously take with a caution a grain of salt and make sure you're not making steps that are giving you a false sense of security when in reality you're not. Some countries require an identification even for a prepaid SIM card. That's insane to me. I don't think that should ever be the case. I don't think you should have to identify yourself as long as you're not like financing anything, and it's just you and you getting a number to make calls and texts and whatever. You should never have to identify yourself for that. That to me, that's bonkers. It's just a number to reach work and maybe, you know, a couple of homies. But whatever, you know, that's something that I hope countries figure out real quick, that there's needs to be a better system. Now, How do you combat this beyond that? Stealth is great. Stealth, I think they give you Ukraine numbers. If you live in a country where you need to identify yourself in order to get a phone number, look into that. And I believe they support eSIM. They also have an app that you can use where you can use this to sign up with Telegram. There's a ton of resources and information on how to activate that. And there's support support team is actually really great. I had a problem with something. If you're going to use Telegram, by the way, which you shouldn't. I had a problem with activating the number they gave me and the email. They send it through email. And they fixed it in like 15 minutes. It was cool. They were like really cool. They're really chill. And I'll link to the site to find them. It's pretty easy. And they have a Tor site and they accept Monero, which is the most based form of payment, is definitely Monero. Now they're like, what's the point? What are you getting at? What's the point? The point is, if you need to get a number and you want to be anonymous, that should be your route. Cash, crypto, Monero, online. Try not to leave your house. Use a VPN to obscure your traffic a little bit more, like your digital footprint. Obviously, trust your VPN provider. And don't hand that number out ever if you can. Now, you want to have a dummy number. This is with a dummy number. You should always have a dummy number that leads you to your real true number. Now, you can give out the dummy number, forward it to the true number. There might be some correlation there. I'm not too educated on this. And if you use Signal, again, you don't have to hand out your real number. You want as least little, like, don't go and sign up for Facebook and put your address and correlate the address with your Amazon account, etc. This number is purely to get certain services working to enhance your privacy and security. Your next option, and this is like super giga chat crazy mode, which is kind of like, hopefully I can get to the point where I don't need a phone number to exist. The guy from 404 Media, I think he's British. The British guy, he doesn't have a phone. He doesn't need one. He just uses Signal. He uses the web for people to reach him. I think, I don't know his full setup for the conventional way on how he exists, but I think he was using an iPod Touch for the longest time too. Like, then they stopped making that. Like, he's got specific ways to reach him, and he doesn't have a phone. It's kind of based. Neither does the hated one, and this is like where my thoughts came from. Kind of for like both of them, like, these guys exist without their phones and they're, you know, relatively big people. How do they do this? And I went down kind of like a rabbit hole perspective. Fuck. I went down a rabbit hole perspective where I was thinking, I was like, how can I live without a phone number? Is it possible? Is it great? You know, it is possible. This would be my ideal setup. I go get my pseudo for very specific, important text messages. I've used it everywhere. Or just a prepaid provider where it's web-based and I don't need any form of SIM card. And that's how I would be reached. I would fundamentally just use public Wi-Fi. I did see Naomi Brockwell's like using like a hotspot separate from her, but I don't think that's, Wi-Fi scanning's a thing, obviously, and I think Graphene OS has fully true random MAC randomization where it makes one less step to identify. So when using public Wi-Fi, it's harder to identify somebody. I think those are kind of the best solution, is a VoIP number if you can, Signal with your Signal friends, SimpleX with your SimpleX friends. Compartmentalize all this as much as possible. But this is what I would do. I mean, I guess step one, I would go to Stealth or my pseudo, and I would get a VoIP number, essentially a virtual number. Michael Basil has a really good podcast where he talks like the steps he goes for his through Twilio. I think they got bought out though. So step one, I go in, I get a prepaid phone number that I can use, and I either pay in cash or I pay with Monero, maybe Lightning, Monero preferred. or a prepaid card, a prepaid debit card, etc. As long as I don't have to identify myself at the end, because I want the biggest separation from me in this number. Then I would park that number and for however, you know, I would keep paying it, depending on how expensive it is. And then I would use that as a form of communication for i.e. work or whatever. And then I would just have maybe a private number, maybe not, probably not. I would just live off data and just use data only. I essentially would view this as the most highest option of security. And then hopefully these VoIP companies have really good port-out protections, 2FA, and it protects your account. As long as they have those in place, then it makes it less likely that you're going to get a SIM swap attack where they're sending your 2FA codes. And for the companies that need a number for me to coexist, I would then, again, my pseudo, just get a separate number, not attached to me. I believe you have to have a Google Play account with them. This is a drawback, but you can just one and done dump, or you can go the stealth route and use that in order to receive your text for like banking information, etc. That might be the perfect solution, and then just live, you know, through through Wi-Fi data only plans. That to me, that would be a more easier approach. I would use Cloaked Wireless if I could see some more information on them and a little bit them be in the game a little bit longer. And see if they're at least turning somewhat a profit, so they're not bleeding, so they don't have to sell off. Like a lot of these privacy tech companies or privacy-centric companies, I get very nervous investing any amount of time into them, because they can just disappear at the drop of a hat, or they could start selling your data on the back end. And, you know, perspective-wise, it's something to always think about. But something that you should think about as the listener or the viewer is, like, what is my number worth? What can it do? Like, do I get spam calls? If you get a lot of spam calls, switching your number doesn't solve that. You're just going to get the spam calls of the last person that switched their number. But you could take a new number, park it in Google Voice, and just call forward everything to your new number and just never give that number out. That's the real goal, is to give out your number less. Now, quickly into the data broker side of it, most of them obviously aren't as good, and that was back to the point that I said earlier. But I hear easy opt-outs is the best. $20 a year, start doing that. Start removing your data as much as possible. I say do that with a combination of manual deletions and requesting to be deleted, for request to be forgotten, essentially. That is the first absolute step that everyone should make out of anything. Remove all this information. Google yourself, find yourself, delete yourself. And once you do that, private all your accounts that you can. Use email aliasing everywhere. Change your email to the email aliasing. Use Simple Login, Anonaddy. There's tons of email aliasing services out there. And just start putting information in place of stuff that you just don't need. Like, you don't seem value. Like, why does this company need my phone number on their service? That's what the best way to start is. Ask yourself, who has my phone number? Who has my email address? Why? And can I change it and direct that information somewhere else? If you can do those things, that makes a huge difference. Huge. Because then it's harder to find. The harder it is to find you online, the easier it is that your life becomes. Now, I'm not saying, like, change your number and just don't give it out to fuck everyone. change your number and give it to very trusted contacts that will never share it. Preferably, don't give them even your real number, because we all know contact sharing can, especially that people just see Facebook's, do you want, can we share your contact? Then they start, how do I get all these friend requests that I don't know of people that I've never, that I've talked to one time? Well, you share, you have their, you probably your name and their number and their contacts, vice versa, and you both allowed it, and now you're kind of fucked. Yeah, like you already shared that data. And this is where it comes in, you can't make a mistake. It's kind of like, you know, the good guys can make, the feds can make a million mistakes, but it takes the threat actor, like the drug dealer or whatever, they just got to make one mistake, one time, and they're fucked. They're wrong. They can only be wrong once. While the person on the other hand, these data brokers, they can be wrong every single day. It doesn't bother them. So your best option is to always, who am I handing my stuff to? What are they going to do with it? Can I trust them? Your work, are they selling your number? Are they sharing it with Facebook? Like, this is why you probably see your work friends on your face. I mean, personally, just get rid of Facebook, but whatever, you know what I'm saying? Et cetera, et cetera. You do these things, and then you start cleaning up your bad privacy habits. You realize you don't get spam calls. You're like, this is great. You don't get as many advertisements that are super, like, centric to, like, your phone number and, like, your geolocation and et cetera, et cetera. You start living a more chill, modest life. And then just to break it down one last time, I guess, for the TLDR, is either you pick a new number with hopefully an anonymous way, and you never hand that out, and you hand out your old number still and call forward to the new number, or you get a completely new number and you kind of, like, you're more reserved with it. You like you pocket it. You're like, I'm not going to give this to anyone. Treat it like a secret, like a secret club. It's kind of the best part about it. And as you journey through this, you start realizing, like, wait, I don't actually need my phone number to be handed to everyone. And you kind of deal with less. It's nice. Hopefully I get to the point where I don't need it. Like, passkey support is just hardware authentication. It's just so widely available, I don't even need to use a SMS 2FA, but that's, you know, still long in the future. I definitely hope that people take something away from this. Is who am I giving, just even if it's like, you know, I'm gonna go Google myself, I'm gonna go search myself, even if it's just that, and they get a little bit more information about themselves and get it removed from the internet, I think that is a win to me. And, you know, My perspective is to be a little bit more reserved about stuff that you hand out. But until next time, I will see everyone later.